Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. In today's show, we're going to hear from Mayor Don Scott. He's going to chat about the motion he brought forward last night and new measures the RMWB is taking to combat COVID-19. Hello, Mayor Scott. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me today. How are you feeling during this global pandemic?
You know, I'm confident based on a lot of calls that I've been making. I want us to take very aggressive steps in this region because one thing I've observed is when I look at other jurisdictions around the world, those that have been the most aggressive have had the best results, and they're positioning their people and their businesses to bounce back the fastest. So, and that's why I have suggested that aggressive steps should be adopted right now. I think there's what I would describe as a false sense of security because of what we don't seem to be affected, but this is going to hit us like the wind, and we need to do something to prepare for it. And I was really believing that the motion that I put forward last night was going to get us ahead of the curve.
Can you tell me a bit more about the motion that you put forward? What's it entail?
So my motion last night was that we must be leaders and not followers, and I think we need to model ourselves after those jurisdictions that are taking the most aggressive steps to protect their community. And essentially, there was many aspects to it. There were actually 17 points in the motion, and one of them was that we develop a shelter-in-place guideline. Now, there's a lot of confusion about what shelter-in-place means. You can modify it, a shelter-in-place guideline, so that people can go for walks, people can go to work, those kind of things. But I want us to be aggressive and make sure that we're doing all we can to protect people. And I want to make sure that we have our minds set to what would be the most effective shelter-in-place policy at this time to protect our residents. So that was the point that I think a lot of people focused on. But it was to develop a policy and an approach that was appropriate for us and this time, and making sure that people take this seriously. I'm very concerned that people are not taking this as seriously as they should. Number two, that only essential services should remain open in the region as determined by the interim CAO and the DEM. That's the Director of Emergency Management. So if you take a look at other jurisdictions, like San Francisco is a great example, they have a very detailed list of what would entail an essential service. But basically, we want people to not be interacting at this time. We want people to keep their distance from other people so that they're following the best protocols. That's what's going to give us the best advantage in the long term, is if we are keeping each other safe. The next one was that administration work with industry to ensure that only essential employees are residing in camps. I think everybody knows my feeling about camps. I've got a long history, obviously, of opposing camps, but if they're going to be open, which they are at this point, then let's make sure that only essential employees are residing in camps and that all camps are strictly adhering to AHS guidelines. That was the third point in the motion. So we did have a presentation from OSCA last night. That's the Oil Sands Community Alliance, and they did indicate that very stringent measures are being taken with respect to camps. So that gave me a little bit more confidence, but I think that's a big risk factor for our region, because if somebody's flying in from another place and they're coming into our region and they have the virus or they end up getting the symptoms, then guess which hospital they're going to be using? Mm-hmm. And guess which healthcare workers are going to be hit? It's ours. So I'm very concerned about that. And I'm going to continue to be concerned about that. You know, if I'd rather be accused of overreacting than not doing enough. I want us and this community to be safe and best positioned to bounce back. The next one, number four, is that we task administration with continuing to obtain critical supplies, including protective equipment, including N95 masks for the anticipated duration of the emergency. So I think many people out there would understand that there's a shortage of protective equipment supplies right now. Now, we've been fortunate. Our administration's been working really hard, and I've been making a lot of calls as well. And we did obtain some N95 masks that were left over from the fire, our administration worked really hard to do that, and I give all the credit to our new interim CAO, Jamie Doyle, for managing that. So within just a few days, that has been achieved. But we want to make sure that we have the other protective equipment we need. I had a discussion with Murray Crawford from our Northern Lights Regional Hospital, and he told me that they have the protective equipment they need, although I have been contacted by some staff at the hospital who said that they're concerned about that issue. So anyway, my fourth part of my motion was to do with protective equipment. Now, the fifth part, that we ask Alberta Health Services to immediately publicly disclose the number of COVID positive cases in Wood Buffalo and how many are individuals who resided in work camps. So shortly after I brought this motion last night, the staff at the Minister of Health actually called me, which was fantastic. And they said, anytime I need information, I've got a direct line to them now. So
great.
That was very helpful. So the Minister of Health is obviously a busy person, and I give them all the credit in the world. I know they're overwhelmed with what's happening in Alberta, but I want to make sure that we're getting the best information we can to protect the people in this region. What he told me is something I think we're already aware of. He confirmed that there is one identified case in our region, and that's the one that that people are already familiar with from social media. So he said that there are no other confirmed cases in this region. So just to be aware of that. Now, one thing that I am concerned about, I spoke to a doctor yesterday who indicated to me that they're not doing the testing in Alberta like they do in some other jurisdictions extremely aggressively. So if there are cases, then they may not be identified, or they may not be identified for a while. So that's concerning. You know, I just want to make sure that we are doing everything we can and getting the best information out to individuals so that we can make decisions. The next point was that we direct all essential businesses that remain open that they must comply with AHS guidelines. We just want to make sure that people are taking this seriously. It's very concerning when I hear that some businesses are not complying with AHS guidelines. We obviously have heard that in our region. You know, people need to take this seriously. This is a very serious issue. If you look around the world at what's happening, you know, we're not insulated from this virus. It's going to hit us at some point. Let's be prepared. Let's do everything we can to get ready for it. And let's protect our people the best that we can. Number seven, that we aggressively communicate the vulnerable person registry in the region and ensure it is updated to ensure that those requiring assistance receive it. So that was point number seven. I just want to make sure, we do have a vulnerable person registry at the municipality, and I want to make sure that that list is updated because they are more susceptible to getting hit with the complications arising if they get the virus. So if we have a comprehensive list, we're able to check on them, we're able to make sure that they're okay, then I would feel more confident.
Once again, that was Mayor Don Scott talking about the motion he brought forward at council last night. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll hear more from Mayor Don Scott, the motion he brought forward, and steps the RMWB is taking to combat COVID-19.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning into the show right now, we're hearing from Mayor Don Scott, telling us about the motion he brought forward last night at council meeting and the reasons why each number was on the list.
Number eight, that we use all the possible enforcement powers available to protect the community when appropriate and impose such sanctions as are within our jurisdiction for noncompliance. What I mean by that is it's good to have rules, but we need to back them up with sanctions. Hmm. You know, if you look around the world, people are just not complying as they should, and that's why governments keep imposing greater and greater restrictions. And we're seeing some jurisdictions, even in Canada, start to issue sanctions for noncompliance. So that's something that I wanted us to take a look at. And we have limited abilities because we're a municipality, not the province and not the federal government. But I still think we need to take this incredibly seriously and make sure that we're doing everything we can. Number nine, that we set up regular calls with our rural and indigenous communities to determine what is needed on a go-forward basis to address the pandemic. So I have been making calls to the rural and indigenous communities myself, and I know that some of my council colleagues have been doing the same thing. And as a result of those calls, for example, we'll be closing down the Fort Chip Winter Road on Thursday at noon.
Oh,
so
wow.
We are making good progress. That was a request from the community of Fort Chipewyan. They also requested that we impose a curfew in Fort Chipewyan for those who are under 18 years of age. So I have passed along that information to our interim CAO and the Director of Emergency Management, and I understand that they're going to work with the community to make sure that those things are in place. And both of our counselors from Fort Chipewyan were on that call yesterday. That would be Bruce Engels and Claris Voyager. So that we encourage the residents of Wood Buffalo to, number 10, that we encourage the residents of Wood Buffalo to stay connected through technology and identify individuals who are alone, in distress, or may need assistance. I think this is a situation where we need to make sure we're taking care of each other. We can't be on their doorstep, obviously, and we can't go visit them, but we should be in a position where we are trying to look after our neighbors as much as we can virtually or just staying in contact. There are people out there who are likely feeling extremely isolated and worried and concerned, and we want to make sure that those people have contact. And if there are individuals like that, let's identify them and make sure that they're getting the help that they need. Number 11, that administration come forward with a recommendation specific to deferring residential property taxes. I think that that's obviously an economic aspect. We want to make sure that individuals have the financial security moving forward, and that would have addressed that issue. Number 12, that we encourage the provincial government to look at measures that will assist both commercial renters and residential renters. I'm obviously concerned when I hear stories about people not being able to afford the rents. Many people have obviously been impacted by layoffs, and the commercial rent situation is very difficult in this region because it's been high for a very long time, and now a lot of businesses are struggling because they are not open or they're not as busy as they once were. So that would have assisted with that issue. Number 13, that residential utility bills for residents be deferred until the emergency ends. So I thought that that would also provide economic relief to the residents of our region. Mm-hmm. Number 14, and we're almost at the end, that we request the federal and provincial governments to set up an aggressive and robust program to support businesses. One of the concerns I have, and I'm hearing it over and over and over again, is that the programs that have been announced to date are not aggressive enough to support businesses so that they're in a position to bounce back after this pandemic passes. You know, it's going to be a while before we get through this, but I want to position businesses to be in the best situation that they can be to come back after the pandemic ends. And I believe the federal and provincial governments can do a lot more. That's likely to happen. Every call that I've been on with the premier, he's indicated that there is going to be programs coming forward for businesses, and I know his commitment to business and certainly to the industry in our region. So I'm confident that they will do something, but I want to make sure that it's on people's radar, and I wanted to put that forward because we as a council need to be extremely aggressive about what we're lobbying for, and that is something that I think the businesses in our region would expect us to be doing. Number 15, that we communicate that anyone visiting the urban service area or a rural community must self-isolate for 14 days, whether they arrive by road or air. So that was an important one for me because that is, you know, an aggressive step, but it's also going to protect the residents of this region. If we have people coming from other areas and they've been to infected areas, then let's protect our own residents as much as we can. Self-isolation is going to achieve that. We've seen what happens in other jurisdictions and other areas. You can go from, you know, a situation where people are safe to a situation where there's a lot of risk if people aren't taking the measures that they should. Number 16, that we reduce transit services and waive fees for transit until further notice with such exceptions as the interim CAO and DEM determine necessary. So we're seeing obviously reduced ridership on transit, and I wanted to give the authority to the CAO and the DEM to make sure that they could adjust accordingly and waive the fees. There's no point charging fees and exchanging cash and having people interact with each other to pay for getting on a bus at this time. So that would have permitted that. And number 17, that the interim chief administrative officer and the director of emergency management address those matters raised by the leadership of the indigenous and rural communities to address the pandemic in an expeditious manner. So I wanted to give the signal to the interim chief administrative officer and the director of emergency management that when concerns are raised by the rural communities, and there have been quite a few, specific to those communities, that they can, you know, expeditiously respond. We want to make sure that we are answering the needs of rural communities. You know, the Fort Chipewyan situation is a perfect example. They are very concerned about this pandemic, and that's why they're taking the measures they are. They wanted the winter road closed as a way of protecting and isolating their community, and they had a roadblock set up for the last little while that was a checkpoint, and that just, there's different reactions throughout our region, but if a community in our region wants to take additional measures, then I wanted to see us as a region support that. Mm-hmm. So that was the complete motion. So it was extremely aggressive, and I recognize that, but I'm going to do everything I can to protect the people in this community. And if I end up being wrong, and if people think I've overreacted, then that's something I can live with, but I will never be able to live with myself if I didn't do everything I could to protect every person in this region. I also believe to my core that those regions that are the most aggressive are going to be best positioned to bounce back, and that's exactly why I brought it forward. You know, I respect my colleagues' decision not to take any action at this time, but I'm deeply concerned by it, obviously.
Once again, that was Mayor Don Scott. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing more from Mayor Don Scott and the measures the RMWB is taking to combat the coronavirus.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Two.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning into the show, we're hearing from Mayor Don Scott about the motion he brought forward at council last night. Going back to one of the first points you made about the modified shelter in place, I know you've said that that would keep our essential services open, but close some of our other ones and make sure that people stay home. How would we enforce that?
Yeah, and that's why I also, as part of my motion, said we need to have enforcement powers and take steps. You know, we do have the RCMP in the region. We can do things within our own jurisdiction, but we would probably need the help of the province and the federal government ultimately. But let's start by imposing rules, and then let's back them up by sanctions. I've asked other communities how they're navigating this. You know, there's, for example, the people in Fort Chipewyan are extremely, I would say, aggressive about making sure that they're protecting their own community. You know, and social shaming is one technique. If you see somebody who's breaching a rule, you know, that you go up to them and you tell them, now, you keep your distance, but you still tell them they must comply with what has been, with the rule that's in place. You know, they're exposing everybody to risk when they don't. So there's a lot of techniques that, should it go to fines? I actually believe it should. Should there be sanctions that are imposed for people that breach the rules? Absolutely. A rule without a sanction isn't very effective. So I believe that sanctions are an important step to take.
Yes, and I think that some people, I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, I'm staying home. Like, who actually is going out? And I kind of had that thought, too. Like, I was like, oh, I don't see anybody out. But then I'm like, but I'm not out. So, of course, there are people out, even if you're not seeing them, correct?
Oh, absolutely. One of the stories I heard yesterday is there was a big birthday party in the weekend. And I understand 16 people attended this big birthday party. And that was something that was brought to my attention. And they asked me, what can I do about it? And I said, well, you know, you can remind them of the HS guidelines. But right now, you know, there's very limited action that we can take except telling people that they must comply. So that's why I brought this aggressive motion.
For sure. thinking of essential services, I did see the list come out from Ontario, and I could hardly think of very many that weren't on there that were deemed unessential. What does that mean for us? Can you name some of the unessential services that would have to close?
Yeah, there's, I think we would have to determine what we consider an essential service. My colleagues and I were debating some of the stores the other day that would be considered essential. I would encourage anyone who wants to take a deep look into it to look at what San Francisco's done. They've published something that's very detailed about what they consider to be an essential service. It's probably a model for us to be taking a hard look at. But is everything an essential service? No, it's certainly not. But if you're conducting your business through virtual means, then I think that's a way of insulating yourself from measures that might be coming. So, you know, essential service, I'm concerned about things like massages. I'm obviously concerned about hair salons, things like that. Things that would be in place where you cannot maintain a social distance. So it's those kind of examples. Now, that's two examples, but they're not exclusive. There's a lot more that we need to take a hard look at. I think a lot of businesses are seeing what's happening and are taking proactive measures, which is something I certainly appreciate.
And so we know that the health minister has now said that you've got a direct line. You can call and ask me about cases in the region. What is your message to people who feel like the low numbers of cases in Fort McMurray make this virus not a concern for us?
You know, this is a big concern. So there's one identified. Doesn't mean that that's the only one in the region. And I'm not trying to cause fear, but I am trying to make sure we're prepared and doing everything we can to protect our neighbors. People must follow the AHS guidelines. You know, if people accuse me of doing too much, I'd rather have that accusation than doing too little. Let's do everything we can to protect each other. But I also want to encourage people to reach out to those that they know virtually, and certainly talk to them and make sure that that people are okay. I'm very concerned about people's mental health during this period as well. So if you know somebody in this region who is alone or maybe in distress, reach out to them virtually. Make sure you're connecting with people. We need to take care of each other. And that's something that I would certainly encourage.
What do you anticipate will happen with our fly-in, fly-out workers? I know you said that only essential personnel, but how will we staff the oil sands if we do go on lockdown and not allow airplanes to come in?
Yeah, there was an article put out last night by, I recall it was the Globe and Mail, indicating the province is trying to deem the oil sands workers as essential services. So that may be a provincial move that happens in the next couple of days. So we'll see what happens there. I think the province is going to, you know, be reevaluating how aggressive they need to be. We'll see where the numbers are with the number of confirmed cases in Alberta.
And what do you have to say to our healthcare workers?
I am so grateful for all the good work that you're doing, and my motion was in part designed to protect you. I want to make sure that our health workers know, A, that they have our support and the support of this community. We know that they're going to be on the front lines of this as matters move forward, and we are so deeply grateful for all the work they do. And, you know, we encourage them in every way possible and want to have their backs.
And the town hall tonight, what do you think will come out of that?
You know, it's really an information sharing session. People can ask questions, but I'm going to try to put as much information out as I can. We're going to have some people on there to answer questions, including myself. And, you know, it's really the first attempt to make sure that everybody in the community is hearing an update. Because I know not everybody watches council meetings, and some people are on Facebook, and that's not always the most accurate place to get news necessarily.
Totally.
So we want to make sure that everybody is getting the best information they can. And if they're not sure, I mean, one place to look is certainly the AHS website for the, you know, the guidelines to do with the COVID virus. But I want to make sure that we have a local perspective on that and that we're doing everything we can to protect our own residents up here. I'm not going to rely on another level of government to look after the people of this region. That's why I brought the motion last night. I really believe we need to look after ourselves. Let's do everything we can within our own powers.
Once again, that was Mayor Don Scott talking about the motion he brought forward at Wood Buffalo's council meeting last night in hopes to help combat COVID-19. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. Make sure you tune in to Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon. I'm Steph Seidel, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.